Susan there in the back. Looks like a good group back there. Growing every week. I like it. Well, again, if we haven't met each other before, my name's Ben. I am one of the pastors here. And we have been in a series that video just showed. We have been in a series called As I Pray. Everything changes as I pray. And we've been talking about prayer, and what we want to talk about today is actually something that we actually don't like to talk about that often. I'll let our kids get a moving. They are an active bunch. Has the start of school gone okay for our parents in the room? Maybe bumpy? I see a couple of bumpies. God bless all you parents. God bless you parents. God bless you teachers. God bless anyone involved in that whole process. Caitlin and I are often amazed by you, so God bless you and take care of yourselves. We're talking about prayer, and we are talking about a subject within prayer that we often don't like to talk about as Christians. What does it mean when our prayers don't look like they've been answered? We're going to go there this morning. It seems to me like one of the downsides of American Christianity is sometimes that we treat Christianity like a product. Like we have to market Christianity well. You know, we market the things that we like. We've got you know, living with Jesus forever in eternity, and we've got this cool little thing that we can put on our car, this ichthus right here, the fish shape. We've got these cool things. By the way, that's not what heaven looks like, at least as far as we know. I just don't often get to have cloud stairs in my sermon series, so I figured I would put it in today. But like, these are the things like Jesus and living with God into eternity. Those are amazing. That's what we like to think about. But we often don't talk about the harder things when it comes to Christianity. Like, what happens if my prayer doesn't look like it's been answered? It isn't answered, even. And it's my conviction that if we talk about the hard things in life, in our faith, well, our world will come running. Because our world is full of hard things. I mean, just this week, we see it. We see what's happened in Afghanistan. Please be praying for our friends there. We see what happened with the earthquake in Haiti. People trying to make sense of all of that. And people are praying. And I encourage you to be praying for both of those situations. We want people to be praying for peace in Afghanistan, for survivors to still be found, people to be taken care of from that earthquake in Haiti. Even just on a personal level, I pray for Caitlin every day for her healing. She prays every day. Her family prays. We pray for her to be healed or even just some days just to function at its bare minimum. And then some days, some weeks, she still ends up looking like this at the end of the week. That was last Saturday. I think that was about 10 p.m. You can tell because she's getting a little bit sleepy in her eyes there. But why aren't our prayers getting answered? Why aren't things changing? Is God not answering? Is he somewhere else? Is he busy? Is he not there? What's going on? We're going to be digging into that today. And we're going to be taking a look at in our Bibles at the Gospel of Luke. So if you've got a Bible, I'd encourage you pop it open to the Gospel of Luke. I actually read something really interesting. There are studies out there that show that, and some pastors that I follow, they have been talking about this for a while. There's something different that happens in our mind when we have a physical copy. You are welcome to access Scripture on the phone. We don't make a distinction there. It's the same Bible, but there's something even just physiologically, psychologically different when we have a Bible that we are looking through, flipping through. So I want to encourage you, there are often Bibles in front in the chairs, so if you'd like to. But we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. When we have questions about what God is like, when we've got questions about, you know, God, what do you think on this topic, we often go to the Bible, but even within the Bible, we want to see what Jesus has to say, because Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God come down to earth to save us. Jesus is God. And when we want to hear what God has to say, we look at what Jesus says, because that's God saying it. One of my pastors, preachers that I listen to, favorite preachers, he said, Jesus is what God has to say. So let's see what God, Jesus, has to say on prayer. We're going to be in Luke 11. The whole start of this chapter is about prayer. We're going to be skipping around to a couple of verses because we just don't have enough time to explore it all. If you would like to, we have a Zoom Bible study that meets on Sunday nights, 7 p.m. The link's in the email. If you didn't get that, come talk to me. Be a part of it. We'll explore the whole chapter. But we're going to start at verse 5 this morning. So Luke 11, verse 5. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he, being Jesus, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this. Though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. How many of us have ever experienced something like that? Anyone? Neighbor at midnight coming over for a cup of sugar? The kids do that. Yes, I imagine they do. That is a whole different take on that story. Yes, it is. But if somebody comes over to my house and starts knocking on the door and says, you know what, can I get a piece of that Sara Lee honey wheat bread? I'm going to give them to them. I just am. By the way, we're not sponsored by Sara Lee Honey Wheat, but this is the official bread of Pastor Ben's PB&J sandwiches. Had one yesterday. It's good stuff. But Jesus is saying if you're persistent for long enough, eventually that neighbor is going to give in. He's going to give you what you are asking for. He says something very interesting. I'm going to read it again. Verse 8. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. I mean, if it was me, I'd gladly toss some bread out the window just to get somebody to stop knocking on my door. So moral of the story, be shamelessly persistent, keep going, keep asking for what you need. And the next couple of verses, they go along with this. We'll skip over to verse 9 there. Jesus continues, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. This is what Jesus says to us in his teaching on prayer. And so we know that this is true, and yet, at the same time, Caitlin hasn't been healed. I was in rehab talking with Jake Ettinger. I got to visit him earlier. By the way, Judy, is Jake still at Aldersgate? He's home. Yes, that is good and wonderful news. For those of you who have been tracking, our friend Lauren is at home as well this week. So both of our friends that were in recovery, we're glad that they are home. But I was talking with Jake earlier this week, and he mentioned that he prays for Caitlin every day. I know I do. I know many of us here in this community do. And so we have to ask, when we look at what Jesus says, I mean, are those prayers wasted? Have we just not been persistent enough yet? I think it really matters a lot how we see God at work in our world. And I just want to recognize, this is that part I kind of alluded to earlier, that some of us may not agree on this subject. And that is okay. Jesus followers can disagree on many things, but we are all united around Jesus because he's the most important thing. And so I just want to ask, if you're somebody that disagrees on this particular topic, that is okay. Let's listen, let's engage. You may have thought about something that I haven't. Maybe I can share something here that might be helpful, who knows. But we're all centered around Jesus, so let's move there. But when we look at how God interacts with our world, some people think of God as having this one solid plan. Like, imagine a line, and that line is God's plan. And nothing that happens in that plan is outside of what God wants. It's God's will. That line of what is happening is God's will, God's plan for everything. That everything that has happened is part of God's plan. Everything that happened, some people might use the word predestined to happen, which is really comforting when you beat a cancer diagnosis, or really comforting when a car swerves out of its lane and swerves toward you, and it just misses you, and instead it hits the car behind you. And sometimes, like, that feels really comforting to say, because we might use the language of God saved me there. But in my experience, that runs into trouble really quickly. Because if we say God saved me there, then what about our friends that don't beat their cancer diagnoses? Or what about the person behind that was hit in that car accident? Did God do that to them instead of me? I think we accidentally make a lot of things God's fault if we say that everything that happens is God's plan for us. I know people that have left the church over this idea. My old boss at AAA, when I worked in the insurance world, he left the church over this. He could not imagine some of the things that had happened both nationally and then in his own life. He could not imagine a God that wanted that to happen, and that's what he was told. God wanted everything that happened to happen, and so that was... just didn't want to worship that kind of a God. And I have to say, I am not convinced by this idea about God at all. I am not convinced about it. If you are, I understand. Let's talk about it. We can talk. You may have thought about it in a way that I haven't. But from what I understand about God, both in the Bible and my experience, God doesn't do bad things. God does good things in our lives and in the world. And we actually see that in the next set of verses. So we're going to skip down to Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. Let's go there. Let me actually read it. I told you that I was going to read from the Bible. You know what? Let me actually read from it. Verse 11. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You can already see some of the minds of our students turning, and I imagine some of the kids that went back to kids' worship, they might think that a snake is way cooler than a fish, though it's much less edible. If you are of that opinion, I know there are some in here who prefer snakes. I had a really cool snake image. I settled on the clip art version because I didn't want to trigger us. Oh, there we go. Got it fixed the right way. If you want to see a really cool snake, I've got one on my iPad. Come see me after the service. But that last phrase here is different than what I thought it was going to be when I initially passage out, right? If you've read this passage before, some of you might remember a different ending to this. That's because this passage is also contained in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's take a look at it. There it says in Matthew 7, "How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" And here in Luke, it says, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So which one of these is right? Question time. Seriously, anyone can answer. You would say the Holy Spirit? Somebody say over here? Both. They are the Holy Spirit, good gifts, both. I mean, the Holy Spirit is a good gift for one thing, but yes, both. Both of these are correct. God gives good gifts, and we believe it. Just frankly, Caitlin's heart condition has not been a good gift. We would solidly vote on returning that. Promise you, we would. But it's not a good gift. God can cause and did cause good to come out of it. That is something Caitlin and I likely would never have met if certain things hadn't happened with her heart and she had come back to Fresno to become a pastor at North Fresno Church. We probably wouldn't have ever met each other, wouldn't have known each other. God can come good, can cause good to come out of things, but it's not a good gift. Let's call a duck. It's not something that is good. And it's my conviction that God did not give this heart condition to Caitlin. God did not cause the earthquake to happen in Haiti. That God did not choose for Afghanistan to go through a rough season in its national history. Because God gives good things. God gives us good things, not bad. And I think we misunderstand the world when we attribute everything that happens in our world to God, because there is another option. There is an alternative force at work in our world, a dark and evil force. We call it the accuser, the enemy, the Satan. Satan is a title. And my fear is that when we as Christians, we sometimes feel like we have to bend over backwards trying to make everything that happened somehow good or fine according to God's plan. My fear is that when we do that, we actually end up blaming God for stuff that the other guy did. And we don't want to do that. But even when Satan is at work, even when things are going rough and things are not happening like we would want, that things are seemingly falling apart, we still believe our God gives good gifts. And among those gifts, God gave something really special. He gives us the Holy Spirit. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, who connects us to God, who intercedes with us, who helps us even know how to pray. Fran, in Bible study, you were talking about the Holy Spirit interceding, and I don't think we figured out which verse it was. I found it for us. It's here in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." When we pray, we don't always know what to pray for, or if what we're praying for is good or even best, we often don't understand it. I often don't understand what I'm praying for. I know what I'd like. I know what I'd like to happen, but often we don't understand what is best or even what to pray for at a basic level. And we need to remember, even when we pray for people, we pray for people to make certain choices, or we pray for something to happen in somebody's life, it's my understanding, it's my conviction that God lets me choose whether I can follow Jesus, follow God, do things God's way. God lets other people choose too. And often the hurt that we see in our world is a result of human choices. What I do know is that when we pray, our prayers aren't unanswered. When I pray for Caitlin, our prayers aren't unanswered. Even just this week, we were praying for Caitlin to get better as a result of her ER visit. And this week, we got connected with a neighbor that we've never interacted with before, or at least not much. We talked with her maybe two conversations, and she brought us food this week, kind of seemingly out of the blue. God uses community. He used members of this community here who brought groceries that we needed or medicine that Caitlin needed to get the medicine that caused her to go to the ER out of her system. Shameless plug, by the way. Very shameless plug. We use this app called Ionicare to do that. So if you want to be part of the team that helps with things like that, this is where we send requests for Caitlin to get help. If you need help, this is something I highly recommend for you. Come talk to me after the service if you need more details. But this has been a way that community has helped us, and I know that this is a way that we can help others too. But God uses people often. That's sometimes how God answers prayer, through us helping each other. Sometimes God answers prayer behind the scenes. He answers prayer in ways that we don't recognize, we don't see. And sometimes it feels like God's silent. Feels like God isn't around when the person we're praying for, when they die, when a nation falls, when hurt and grief happen. And yet we proclaim that God gives good gifts. And the best gift he gives us is himself. God is constantly giving us himself. God interacts with us as God the Father. Well, we pray to, often we start out in prayers, God our Father. That's how the Lord's Prayer starts even. God gave himself to us as Jesus, who came for all of us, who died on the cross to save us from ourselves. And God gives us good gifts. He gives us the Holy Spirit to connect us to him, so that when everything falls apart, we still have him. And so my invitation to you this week, what I'd encourage you to do this week in your prayer lives, as you are praying, is to pray that God would give you this good gift, that God would give you a connection, a sense of the Holy Spirit, that your connection with God would be alive and well. Pray for Afghanistan. Pray for Haiti. Pray for things going on in your life. Yes and amen. But pray that God is connected with you so that even if everything falls apart, even when there is hurt and there is grief, that you are still connected to him, because God gives good gifts and he gives us himself. He gives us himself who can comfort us, who can be with us. And he gives us himself who sometimes moves in miraculous and amazing ways. I'm going to invite us to close our service this morning with reading the Lord's Prayer again. You might not know this. We often, the Lord's Prayer we read earlier, that was the KJV, King James Version, is often the one that many of us grew up with. It's out of Matthew, but there's actually the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke as well. It's a little shorter, at least to me, it feels a little bit more blunt, but it asks us, it asks God for what we need. And so I'm going to invite you to read this with me, and let's close our service by asking God to be with us, to give us what we need, and we know what we need is him. Let's read this together. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May you go this week connecting to the Holy Spirit, because God gives good gifts, that even when things look like they are not how they should be, God gives us Himself. So may you connect with Him. May your week be empowered by the Holy Spirit. May you connect with God, and may you be blessed. Take care, congregation. Go in peace.